Who is it?
Hello and thank you for joining me today. I am Mindy McNeil and I am at the Urban Leadership Foundation out in Aurora, and I am speaking with Dr. Ryan Ross. He is the president and CEO of the foundation, and thank you so much just for taking the time to meet with me today.
No, thank you for being here. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Dr. Ross, I do have a couple questions. You know, I was on your website and I've heard a little bit about the program, and, you know, it's just basically building up leaders, making leaders in the community, different things like that. How long has this program been in effect?
Yeah, so the program has been in effect since 2007. It actually started with the leadership of Richard Lewis, a local business owner, Senator Angela Williams, and former Mayor Wellington Webb. And their conversation was around not having a leadership program that helped leaders land and promote within our city and also at the same time connect. And so that was the birth of the program, 2007.
So when you say connect, what do you mean by connect?
Well, when we talk about connecting, we talk about having a community of leaders who look like you, who can support you, who can understand what you're going through. And then also the other side of that is being able to strategically connect with different parts of the state in order to be effective and create change.
Now, some of the things that I saw on your website, it says to continuously improve the professional and social trajectory of minority leaders through effective leadership training. What type of training is involved in this program?
Right. So we look at leadership of the whole person, right? We believe that, you know, your life is your leadership and your leadership is your life. It's something that you don't turn off, and something that you're always and continuously grooming and growing. And so we want individuals to be ready to perform in a boardroom or perform successfully at home with their families, and most importantly, to be able to perform in their communities and be examples of success and achievement and opportunity for others.
So basically being a leader is a 24/7 call, so to speak?
Absolutely. It's one of those things that you can't turn off. And it's a unique, it's one of the things that, you know, when we talk about equity, right, and privilege, one thing we talk about is as an African-American, you can't turn off being African-American, right? Same thing. You can't turn off being a leader. You are who you are, and there are always needs, and there's always an opportunity to inspire service in the public's interest. And I think there's always an opportunity to be growing and advocating and leading change.
Now, your flagship program, the ULF Connect Leadership, now that's 10 months. It's 22 or more classes in helping in leadership training. Why 10 months and why 22 classes or more?
Yeah. Well, you know, when we look at leadership programs across the country, when we look at best practices in adult education, we look at graduate school programming, for us to cover all the topics that we feel like are necessary, we needed that time. And the other piece is we wanted to spread it out so that our fellows also have the opportunity to put the different modules and training into action. And so each class is also responsible for completing what we call two legacy-oriented community service projects. And so the 10 months gives them an opportunity to not only take in the curriculum, but also do any fundraising that they need to do any planning, do any design, and start and complete two projects that will leave a lasting impact on the community.
Now, so I go through the program, I graduate, but I already am established in my career. So then what does this help me to do as well? Like the next step?
Yeah, so the next step, once individuals graduate from our program, they join our alumni association, where we're committed to, you know, lifelong learning and professional development, right? So sometimes there are individuals who are working, they're supervisors, and they get a promotion, and all of a sudden now they're in charge of a $20 million budget. What do they do? How do you do that? Or there are different challenges that they may face. And so what we do is continue to provide that guidance, those professional development opportunities, and those safe spaces and access to mentors who've been there and can help guide individuals in their career. The other piece is individuals also become mentors to the classes that follow, and we continue to provide service projects and support to the community.
So basically, I graduate, but since I'm an alumni, I always have access to tools, resources, even more ongoing training?
That's absolutely correct. And so on the alumni side of things, we have a program called Bolstering Your Brilliance. And those are quarterly leadership conversations with individuals who have been in leadership for a variety of years or who have had unique experiences or, you know, started unique companies or things like that, where we can continue to just foster growth and create a space where people can connect and network and come together and collaborate.
Now, people, you know, are encouraged to apply. There's an interview process, different things like that. What is the vetting process like for someone to join the classes?
Yeah, great question. So what we're looking for when an individual applies, there's an application process. They fill out an application, submit resume, some photos, some letters of recommendation. They go through an interview with a committee of their peers, so individuals who are alumni. And then we typically select 35 to 40 applicants each year. And what we're looking for are individuals who are committed to service in the public's interest. We're looking for individuals who want to connect and grow. We're looking for individuals who believe that leadership is something for everyone and not just for certain people. And I think the last thing that we're really looking for is individuals who are champions of change and advocates for the African American experience.
And also too, on a political side as well. So if someone is trying to get into politics, is that what the political side is about? Or can you explain a little bit more on that?
Yeah, so with our program, we think about politics with a little p, right? And so it's not about how to run for office. There are plenty of organizations and a lot of great resources that we can connect people to if they want to run for office. When it comes to politics, we're focused on the process. What we find across, you know, in America is people don't understand the process, how to engage. Some people are actually starstruck by politicians. And so what we're doing is providing access to politicians, educating individuals on the process, and helping individuals understand that our elected officials work for us and how to navigate that process. So that way, when something happens, you have access to our elected officials. They know who you are, you know who they are, you know the processes, you know the authorizing environment to get things done, right? Like if you have a pothole in your neighborhood, you're not calling the senator, you're calling your city council person, right? And so just making sure individuals know how to do that.
Yeah, because I think that is the one thing, is that the community doesn't know who do I call for this or who do I call for that. They're just like, okay, let me call 911 or call, you know, or call, like you said, the senator or the mayor or somebody. And it's like, okay, you can start in a smaller portion or a pocket of your neighborhood.
Right, because there's individuals who are who are responsible for certain things. So we want to make sure people know that. And the other piece is accountability, right? We want to make sure our leaders know the process so that they can share that information with people in their communities. But more importantly, they can use that information to hold our elected officials accountable, right? We hear campaign speeches and campaign promises all the time. There are needs in our communities. And so we want to be able to have leaders who can engage in that process, know how to navigate the process without being frustrated, and deliver results to the community, and be able to disrupt appropriately when necessary, be able to support when necessary. But most importantly, I think to be taken seriously about whatever issue or challenge or opportunity may be, you know, at the forefront at the time.
So if I'm listening to this and I'm like, okay, I want to find out more information, what do I do? Do I go online? Do I make a phone call? And if so, can I get a telephone number and a website address?
Yeah. So, you know, we are on social media. We're on Facebook, ULF Colorado. Our website is www.ulfcolorado.org, where all of our information, our phone number, Twitter, all those things are available. And then most importantly, you can just reach out to an alum. We are a program now of 350 alumni, and we're growing each year. And I'm always available, and you can reach me directly at ryan.ross@ulfcolorado.org.
Okay, and then the classes, do they start maybe, what, once every quarter or every month, or how often do they start?
Yeah, so our program runs 10 months, and it runs on an annual basis. The selection and application process typically starts in September. Final decisions are made in January, and the program starts in February and runs through November with a graduation. And throughout the program, it's a graduate school format, so we meet the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month from 5:30 to 9 p.m.
I'd like to know, do you all do anything in the community? Do you help out in any way or kind of give back, so to speak?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think that's at the foundation of what we do. Since 2007, we've completed 35 legacy-oriented community service projects. And when I say legacy, what we mean by that is we want to do things that once we're done, we can box them up and give them to nonprofits and they can continue to run them, or alumni can continue to administer those programs if they wanted to. So some of the things that we're really proud of, we've got the RISE 5280 HBCU College Tour, which takes young people through a leadership curriculum and then takes them on a historic Black college tour. We have the Thanksgiving in July, which is a program that provides resources, food, and activities for the homeless in July. So last year we fed and provide resources to about 2,000 people. We also give small grants. We look at nonprofits who are trying to make a difference that sometimes are too small to be recognized by larger foundations. This year we looked at Make a Chess Move, a program that uses chess to engage youth and keep them, you know, off the street and keep them engaged and teaches them how to critical think. So we provided them a small grant. And then we also looked at Heavy Hands, Heavy Hearts, which is a small nonprofit started by a UFC prize fighter from Park Hill. Oh. And he's got a community center where he's using UFC fighting and martial arts to keep kids activated. He's created a small library and video game room so kids can come in. And during those kind of latchkey hours of 4 to 7, there's a place for kids to go and not get in trouble and not be charged and can get a hot dog and some fruit, and, you know, and just be okay until their parents get home. And so we want to get behind those kinds of things. And there's plenty of more things that we could talk about, but those are some of the things that we're most proud of this year.
Well, I like that too, because I think about the latchkey kids, because you hear about that so much just over the decades even, you know, and it's, I feel like kids sometimes flounder, so to speak. Like once school is done, they're like, where do I go? What do I do if nobody's home? So to be able to have a place to go, I feel like that can prevent a lot of things from happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I also think, you know, from a leadership perspective, around the country, there's this absence of excellence, right? And so, you know, by stepping up and leading in our own communities, individuals are able to see that excellence, able to practice that excellence, and able to, you know, just understand that one person can make a difference. And, you know, equally important is when you have a variety of folks come together around a common cause, some magical things can happen.
Great. Well, Dr. Ross, I thank you so much for your time. And once again, the website address?
www.ulfcolorado.org.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.